What up, Grizz Nation? We're back with another Free Basketball Grizzlies edition episode just for you. Coming off that big win in Utah. I don't know if that lit Twitter on fire, but man, there was something going on that night. But I'm your host, Daniel Greer, and we are here to recap the game and kind of head into the next game, game two. But we have with us somebody special again, Ryan Meadows. What's up, Ryan?
I told you before, Danny, I'm just here for the vibes. I'm still trying to shake off the euphoria that I'm feeling after winning game one.
Yeah.
I haven't rewatched the game to actually get into the minor details, nor have I barely looked at the box score. So I'm just here to vibe.
All right.
So I'm here to ride.
Well, we're riding dirty, baby. Let's get into that box score real quick. It was a 112-109 game. It was all around. It was played well. There was no time besides that point in the second quarter that the Grizzlies just looked like they were outmatched or weren't the best team on the floor. They looked like the best team on the court 75% of the time, in my opinion. But Jaren Jackson Jr., we'll talk about that a little bit more. Go ahead, Ryan. What you got on that?
The first quarter was horrible.
Well, right.
I don't know what you mean, outmatched. I mean, okay, maybe not outmatched is the right word, but 17 points in a quarter and barely got to 17?
Yeah.
That was rough. Now, that's probably not outmatched. They were just missing their shots. They're getting the looks. They just blew it. But 17 points, I did not feel great after that start.
Yeah, no, it was definitely not. I forgot about that quarter because it didn't look bad, but it wasn't great because they did not score. But Utah wasn't just overwhelmingly the better team on the court. It's just the Grizzlies were not playing well. So that's what I mean by that. But let's go ahead and finish getting into the box score. Jaren Jackson Jr., as I mentioned, we'll get into him maybe a little bit later. But Kyle Anderson, he had 6 steals. It was a record for the Grizzlies, but 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Dylan Brooks, what a game. High score. 31 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. JV, put some respect on his name, Jonas Valanciunas. 15 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. And John Morant, 26, 4, and 4. This starting unit played so well. And even with Desmond Bane at a plus 23 in that game, they played so well as a unit. Let's talk a little bit about Jaren Jackson Jr. as we're right here with him. 7 points, 3 rebounds, 0 assists. He had 4 fouls only in 24 minutes. They mainly went to Desmond Bane, Grayson Allen down the stretch. What is it with Jaren Jackson Jr.? I know that you said your little hot take that he has the most, I guess, upside of anybody on the court. So defend your man and tell me what's going on with Jaren.
I don't know what's going on with Jaren. We said this a couple episodes ago about being in and out of the lineup could mess with his confidence. I mean, he has struggled, and if the Grizzlies are going to realistically think about pulling off the 8-1 upset, he's going to have to play well. Like, he's not going to be bailed out by Dylan Brooks for the next 6 games.
Right.
So he's going to have to play well, along with Jaw and Dylan and JV being strong, as well as the bench being strong, if they're going to realistically think about pulling off this upset. I mean, he had the sequence, I believe it was in the third, when he had that great block when the Jazz were out on a fast break and then came right down the court, fed him on the trail, and he knocked down that 3.
Right.
And that was the most exciting thing he did all game. The rest of the game, he fouled.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a confidence thing with him. I hate that he lives or dies after every foul. Like, he is just – he's always having to be picked up, which has always been a concern for him, for me. But he seems like a good teammate. And yeah. He has the most talent on the team. And he really needs to show it this series. Even if they go on to get Gentlemen Swept 4-1 – I just want Jaren Jackson Jr. to play well, because that is what we all need to see for the future of this team moving forward. Is we already saw the Dylan Brooks part of it, Ja taking over against the Warriors, and in game one in the fourth quarter against the Jazz. Now let's see when Ja and Triple J are cooking. That's what I would love to see.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Jaren does have the most potential, such as talent. But all around, you know, just kind of the best player in general, I think that's Ja Morant, because he can unlock so much of what he is that I think the sky's the limit for that guy. But Jaren, one thing I saw, and this is just a tidbit that I took away, and I took some notes on this game. We'll kind of get into that in a second. This will not be a long episode, so stay with us. We're going to try to power through this as quickly as possible. This won't be 10 minutes or less because I have Ryan, so I want to give us both ample time to speak. But after Jaren Jackson Jr. got his fourth foul, normally the coach or whoever it might be on whatever team is going to pull that player out almost immediately in the third quarter. Taylor Jenkins actually stuck with Jaren. And if you watch, as you're talking about that moment where he got the big block and then came down and hit that big three, it was after he already had his fourth foul. I'm thinking that Taylor Jenkins is, you know what, this guy has not gotten a rhythm the whole night because of fouls, so let's go ahead and leave him on the court at this point. Worst case scenario, he picks up another foul and he's got five, or even fouls out and gets six. We probably won't go back to him because of the way the game flow is going anyway, so I think Taylor Jenkins had a good excuse and the reason to do it, but he also probably had the idea that give this guy some more run, and let's get some extended time and extended minutes, not worrying about the actual fouls. And so I think that was actually a very good decision by Taylor, and I believe that gives the players a lot of, you know, kind of credit, and that goes to their coach, and it gets a lot of trust built up. And so I believe that was a good decision, and I think that it paid off for sure. But let's get a little bit into the rest of the box score, and we won't spend much time on this. There was no Donovan Mitchell, as you heard on the TNT broadcast, probably 74 times, I do believe it was. But Bogdanovich did not play well in the first half, but absolutely Taylor Jenkins' nephew, Bogdanovich, played amazing in the second half, and he absolutely was the motor that ran that team. Without Bogdanovich getting hot, I believe this is a 10-15-point win by the Grizzlies. He's the only reason they had a chance. The Grizzlies were absolutely rolling. Royce O'Neal, a non-factor. Rudy Gobert, not really a factor. I'll hit on something like that, but he had 11 points and 15 rebounds. Mike Conley, very good game of him. 22 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds. Great game. And then the pusher, Joe Ingles, 11 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Not much there. Derek Favors, great game, 12 points, 11 rebounds. And Jordan Clarkson, not that great of a game. 0 of 8 from 3. We won't see that again in this series. But in the end, he just did not show up for the most part. But give me some keys to this game and why that the Grizzlies won.
Some keys to me were actually putting the ball in the basket. No, but for real, so this is kind of a trend we've seen from the first round games, is the home teams have really sucked shooting the threes in game one, and the away team have shot the three really, really well. And so that basically is what happened here tonight after the first quarter. So the Jazz kind of started off, I wouldn't say hot, but I think they scored like 28 to almost 30 points in the first, and we dropped 17. And then the game completely flipped. So we started hitting our shots, getting out and getting into space. Kyle Anderson was making plays on defense, getting us some wide open fast breaks, and the Jazz just couldn't make anything. So I don't know if a lot of that is a result of our defense, because I felt like it was kind of 50-50. Like, some were challenged that the Jazz typically make, like you said with Jordan Clarkson going 0 for 8, and then some of them were just wide open that they just missed. Now, since they're such a good shooting team, at least this year, they were able to make that comeback in the fourth. But I agree, like, if things kind of stay pat and if Bogdanovich doesn't do anything, then this is a 15-point loss, which is rare for a 1 seed to do to an 8 seed. But that's just how poorly the Jazz played, and I think it's just a mental thing. I think Donovan Mitchell being ruled out absolutely affected the team mentally. Donovan was expecting to play, I think, from all reports that we had. Everyone's expecting to get this man back, their leader, their guy that puts everything into place for them. And then 2 or 3 hours before tip, they say he's not playing. So Now you got to go out there and shoulder the load again for this team. And I think it was just a mental thing. I think they're kind of deflated. They also had that week rest. And the Grizzlies had just played the most recently, you know, which I've said in the past on other free basketball podcasts. I love that first round game for the team that's played the most recent. Usually in a gambling aspect, usually they at least cover. Sometimes they win outright if they play, you know, the team that played the most recent does anyways going into the playoffs. So I think it was a lot of different things, but I actually think most of it was mental. And that's so I don't know if you really want to get into the Donovan Mitchell thing. Everything the past 24 hours has been about that. And Donovan Mitchell, I think 100% could have played.
I agree.
And the Jazz, because they beat us three times this season, I don't know if all three were without him. I think at least two of them were, but they thought they would just win again.
Right.
So they thought they were going to buy Donovan an extra couple days, and it backfired. Yep. And now they're playing in the hole, and it's not like the Grizz are all of a sudden favored, but that is something that will mess with the mentality of a one seed. And you want that one seed feeling great about themselves heading forward. And the Jazz front office may have just put a major dent into that. So we'll see, obviously, game two. But I think most of it was mental. Like that Donovan, everybody's thinking Donovan's playing for a week. He's practicing. And then 2 hours before, he's not playing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of smoke going on with issues there in that organization, and that only benefits the Grizzlies. So I'm ecstatic. I hope there's a fire. I need more smoke, more fire.
Exactly.
I want there to be an explosion. I hope there's gasoline somewhere near. That's what I want to happen. But my biggest key for this game.
I mean, you had the Jazz with a whiteout.
Yeah, actually,
they were in a whiteout for a notoriously known to be rather insensitive to, you know.
Yes, and a funny behind-the-scenes fact, I actually went in on that about a minute in my last episode by myself, my 10 minutes or less. And when I got done, I felt that it was insensitive for me to be talking about it. So I just edited the whole thing out. I was like, all right, I don't feel weird. I feel weird.
I don't care.
So that's why I was like, all right, let me just edit this out, because I went in and I was kind of going off on them and being kind of the way they are, which is weird. But real quick, I'm going to give one more key to this and then give me what you think going into game two, what the Grizzlies have to do to get a win. But my biggest takeaway, and obviously this is probably going to be, you know, me rose-colored glasses or my love of JV, but I think how it was, I guess, put into the game plan, the very first or second quarter, JV stayed on the court during the first quarter, and Rudy Gobert went off the court around the seven-minute mark and came back in about the three-minute mark. Well, JV was on the court the whole entire time. When Rudy Gobert came back in towards the end of that first quarter, that's when JV left and went off for his normal rest period. Well, Rudy Gobert absolutely feasted on Jaren Jackson Jr., who cannot box him out, and he just continued to foul him and do everything. Xavier Tillman, he tried his best, and he couldn't get Rudy Gobert out. So what happened is Taylor Jenkins, being very smart, and I think he was watching, you know, that happen, and I was tweeting about it, and you go watch my timeline, they have to mirror JV with Rudy Gobert. Like, mirror the minutes exactly. If Rudy Gobert goes out, XT needs to hop his butt off the bench and run and go get JV out of the game immediately. There's no reason to have JV in the game unless it's foul trouble related for Rudy Gobert. Because if they both play 30 minutes, I want JV's 30 minutes matched up with Rudy Gobert's 30 minutes. Exactly. That's exactly what I want. I want them to make sure it's a one-on-one matchup, because I feel confident that JV can handle that matchup, if not be the better player, because of how big he is and how much he really just softens up Rudy Gobert. So if you look at his stats, on Rudy Gobert's stats, I think you'll see that he got a lot of his rebounds and a lot of his points during that little small increment when he was not having to be guarded by JV. So I think that was a key factor to that game, is having JV pretty much dominate Rudy, just for the fact that he wasn't just overwhelmingly just jumping off paper, but Rudy couldn't do much besides those few lobs he got late into the third quarter. But let's go ahead and wrap this up with the keys to the next game, game two. And I got something else I want to ask you, so give me that. But also, Donovan Mitchell will be coming back. Him coming back, and it's pretty official now.
Oh, 100%.
Him being rusty, is that going to be a factor? Will that hurt them?
An ankle is always a thing you have to be cautious with. Like, will he be as explosive? I just have to go back to the kind of reports that he was practicing basically all last week. So I have to assume that he's pretty back to, like, maybe not full health, but 90% if he was practicing, you know, all last week in their break and seemed fine. So I think he's going to come out with an absolute passion. Now, could that get him into trouble and maybe not foul trouble, but maybe a little shot happy? That's possible. But I don't think, like, you have to have Donovan Mitchell for this Jazz team. So even at 70% Donovan Mitchell, that's better than 0% not having Donovan.
Right. Well, give us the keys to your, to how in the world this game's going to go and kind of any predictions you got.
So really quickly, of course, I like to do nerdy, goofy things. So I decided to look back at past series where the 8 seed won the first game against the 1 seed and to see how the 1 seed responded in game 2 at home. And of course, you know, you got some of those series like the We Believe Warriors where they actually pulled off the upset. The Grizzlies, you know, did that in 2010 or 2011 against the Spurs. And there's some consistencies with those upsets. But most of the time, the 1 seed has their revenge game in game 2, and it's typically a blowout.
Okay.
And the average is anywhere from 15 to 25 points.
Wow.
So that's what I would expect in this game. And that's okay, right? Like, we just saw it tonight with the Bucks. They shot terribly in the first game. Second game, they just had an absolute avalanche against the Heat. I'm expecting that kind of thing from the Utah Jazz against the Grizzlies tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm okay with it. Like, I'm totally fine with losing by 20 to the Jazz. All of those series where the 8 seed pulled off the upset, they won at home. So we stole one on the road. Now we have to defend home. So really, I feel like we can punt this game. Obviously, if we can win 2 in a row, that would be amazing. But I just feel like there's a shooting regression coming for the Jazz this game. With Donovan back, their leader, they will be jacked up to the moon and want to really go at the Grizzlies' throats. So I don't want it to happen. I would love the Grizzlies to show out. And if the Grizzlies were to pull this off, I think it's the Jaren Jackson, D'Anthony Melton show. Because those are the two guys that are going to have to just be, they're going to have to show out. Like, it was Dylan Brooks and Ja and halfway JV, even though he's in foul trouble. Like, if you've got JV solid production, Ja's doing his thing, dealing with a little regression, but still solid 15 to 18 points. But now you add Triple J, who has 20, and D'Anthony Melton, who has 16 to 18 off the bench. There's your answer. So it's going to have to be from one of those two or some random bench guy, like a Grayson Allen game, if they're going to pull off game two. But I just don't see that happening with the historic, like the history of the NBA playoffs and 8-1 matchups. History says the 1 seed wins this and they win by 15 plus.
Okay. I think that's more along what could actually happen. But just going back to D'Anthony Melton, he played 13 minutes. He's 0-4 from the court, 0 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. So not much there. So he will have to do something because I think he might need to be pushed out of the rotation if they want to trim it down to maybe 8 people. I think push him out of the rotation at some point because I don't believe he's playing the best basketball he could be. That doesn't mean that he can't play some games here and there, but I do think that he might need to be pushed out and just go with Grayson, Tyus, and XD and Bain. And that's 9 men. And if you want to, you know, maneuver around XT, you can. But really, he's playing 8 minutes, so it's not even double-digit minutes. He's playing spot minutes as an overlap between JV and Jaren Jackson Jr. when they're playing or when they're going small with Desmond Bane. But my keys to the victory and even this entire series, This is kind of what I've taken down, so bear with me for a second. Hiding Jaw on defense. The Jazz pretty much try to take advantage of that when they could. As I said earlier, mirror JV on Gobert when there's time on the floor. So make sure, you know, whenever Gobert goes out, JV goes out and gets his rest. That way they mirror, and that really should frustrate Gobert at some point. The double pick on top of the key, when you have either Kyle Anderson or Jaren Jackson Jr. along with JV, that allows Ja to go left or right, depending on how he feels. Plus, the other person can kind of rotate and kind of free up themselves for a shot, which could cause more chaos in the lane for JV coming down for an easy just catch and dunk. One thing to watch, the Jazz, they absolutely flop on their three-point attempts. If you watch most of that game, when they shoot, such as the no challenge by Taylor Jenkins, when they shoot, they always kick out their legs, and they always try to fall towards the floor. Some way, somehow, they always flop on their three-pointers. So watch that. If for some reason the Grizzlies are trying to play overplay on those three-pointers, they'll get caught for those three-point fouls, and that's just going to be – that's just killer when that happens. Rebounding when JB is off the floor. And the last thing is, and what I've been saying, spreading out the bench minutes. If you spread out the bench minutes – and you don't leave all four bench players coming on the court at one time, then they absolutely can make sure they stay in sync and the game, the flow, stays consistent. And so that's what I've always said the whole time. Having two guys on the court, bench at a time, that's the most you need to have. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see. For this game, I do believe that Ja needs to kind of stay with the energy level if they're going to win. But I believe that the Jazz figure out a way to win this game. I did bet on the game 8.5, so we're going to say it's an 8-point win for the Jazz, just because I am I want to make sure I win my bet.
You had the Grizzlies to cover.
Yeah, I need the Grizzlies to cover for my personal bank account. But no, I do think it is a Jazz win, just being honest. I wouldn't be shocked if the Grizzlies won. I would not be, because I think the energy level that they're playing with, I just think that they – will absolutely just kind of make sure they play their style of basketball. And that's what's happened. They play, whether you want to grind it out or whether you want to play up and down the court, they played very well. So I hope it is a good game. I don't want to see a blowout. That'd be terrible. But either way, we'll be back here with another edition breaking it down. Plus, I'm going and going to be live on game 3. I will be there. I might be at game 4.
Ooh.
My wife will be out of town. I do have both kiddos here by myself, but I got a babysitter, and I'm going to the game 3. It's going to be a blast. So I will be in the grind house making sure I report back to you how loud it's going to be. But anything else you got, Ryan?
No, just, let's just enjoy the ride no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy the ride. Never forget how game 1 made us felt. I was insufferable on Twitter.
Oh.
And I had absolutely the best time.
Yeah. Grizzlies Twitter was on fire. Like, I loved every minute of it. And even Twitter in general, NBA Twitter was on fire. So I loved it. But yeah, I don't have anything else. We will be bringing out an NBA episode as well. Just kind of breaking down the entire playoffs. Just trying to give our predictions for the first round at least. So stay tuned for that and watch out. But that's all we have this week. Thank you for listening. We will be back probably Thursday, Friday-ish before the next game, which is Saturday night. So be nice and tell your friends.